This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Good afternoon and welcome to a Tuesday edition of Prop Points right here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of fantasypoints.com. The program, as always, being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen. And as always, is brought to you by Better Picks. Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app where you turn your sports knowledge into cold hard cash and you do it rapidly. Visit better.app now and sign up today. Get a free $10, no deposit necessary. Of course, always get your Prop Points podcast. Make sure you're subscribed and you're hooking it up there on Spotify or Apple or wherever you get your pods. Big show forthcoming, as always, Wednesday, early week PM hang, if you will. We talk fantasy. We talk waiver wire, which we'll do at the end of the program. We always do business. It's early in the week. Let's go out there. Let's do business. Me and you doing business out here in the trade market. Buy low and sell high. That's a Seinfeld reference. I just love that one. We'll do business. Anyway, we will, in fact, do some business out there. Do have some very good recommendations. And now that we've got 5 weeks in the books, I think we can really look long and hard at the schedule, the fantasy pointage that each of these teams are giving up to their to each position, and then you compare and contrast it. And we do have a good number of dudes who I think are going to be going up or down, more up though, with some really good matchups. We will, as always, talk with our guy, Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points Data. And he, I'm sure, will be popping out some recos based on the data. Again, you know, pretty hectic night last night. I actually lost power down here in southern Georgia. I think something happened to a transponder. So I literally couldn't even watch my Dodgers emerge victorious. Well, I did. I watched it on my phone, but I had problems watching the game last night, quite frankly. So with that said, let's take a look at the results from last night. And it was a winning week, I got to tell you, but this close to like really, really good. I was pretty arrogant on here yesterday. Our guy, Michael Cohen, did the clip and I'm like, Trevor Lawrence, dude's going to run for 10, okay? And you're going to win. And I think we hit that one. Unbelievable. Could have a third rushing touchdown. You know, when you're feeling it, you're feeling it, and you got to go with it. Now, I was feeling Brenton Strange. No one remembered his name. Maybe they won't remember his name going forward because he got hurt. I don't even know what happened. All I know is we lost by 4 yards, and he only had one catch and one target. I think it was four. So that is a buzzkill. They kept showing him on the sideline. I'm like, what happened? I didn't see the play. Lost power. But how about Trav Hunter? Now, I am a little surprised. Full disclosure, probably got a little lucky here because I thought we'd get more targets, but I also did feel very strongly that primetime player, like I said yesterday, maybe I got lucky. It worked. I knew in the gut that he was going to make a big play, and he did for 44 yards. So the Thursday night special, or the Monday night special, my bad. I mean, we're hitting so many specials here, I can't keep up with them. Let's be honest here. The Monday night special was a winner, baby. You got to love it. You got to love sports, quite frankly. Anytime touchdown, we did not hit that. But by the way, he was open for a tutty at the end of the game. But how about plus 437, 60 yards or more? And I think the fantasy and the NFL gods are hooking me up a little bit here. We only get it by 4 yards, but it counted and put it on the board. Yes, it is a victory. And also, I do want to say I'm not a baseball guy, but I am a Los Angeles Dodgers guru, if you will. I have followed this team 49 years. Well, actually, it's more than that. 49 years, let's call it. And we called it. Boom. Plus 190. I said Blake Snell is going to mow him down. He did wear down at the end, but he was pretty much unhittable for six innings. LA gets the win, and there you go. So I am now officially 2-0 on MLB props this year, both Dodgers, and with my Dodgers emerging victorious. Maybe a bet on them beating the Phillies because I said they were going to do it about 3 days ago. I know I could have been wrong, all that, but I was feeling it because my LA Dodgers, by the way, they have not yet begun to peak. They have not yet peaked this season, which I think is maybe perhaps a little frightening. But on the downside of things, boy, I did rank them at the bottom of the list. And I said, look, if you want to feeling frisky, here you go. Here's a couple lower end ones, but they're all ranked on purpose. So the Brenton Strange one, clearly he would have hit that if he didn't get hurt. So we should have been 3-0, but I did stick these two at the bottom. That Brian Thomas Jr. longest reception under 22.5. Now, I'm pretty sure he had a 23-yarder, or maybe it was a 22-yarder, and we barely made it. But all I know is when he caught the 33-yarder, our guy, Michael Cohen, sent me a text and said, well, there goes that. But, you know, the Xavier Worthy one, I knew it was a little risky. I said it was a little risky, but come on, man. We lose that one by like 9 yards, something like that. I mean, the guy did lead the team in targets, 9 for the day, and he caught 6 balls. We're hearing about the swelling from the flight. You know, I worked in Los Angeles for 5 years. I flew out there every single weekend. I had the same issue. I blew up like a deer tick, okay? But I felt like I was still okay physically, but who knows what happened. He got rocked a little bit too. So we do not have a crushing day, but it's pretty good when the special hits. And we'll throw in that Blake Snell one and all that good stuff. Otherwise, here at the top of the program, we normally take a look around the league. It is kind of quiet on a Tuesday, but the Chargers have officially placed Damarian Hampton on IR with an ankle. And it's not like it's an IR ankle that can't even guarantee will be good to go in like 4 weeks, you would think. But I haven't seen if it was a high ankle variety, but it probably is, considering they're putting him on IR. Speaking of IR, unfortunately, Antonio Gibson out for the season with a torn ACL. I once incorrectly gave Clayton Kershaw bad advice to draft Antonio Gibson. I'm sorry about that, Clayton. Don't hold it against me. But there was a time I was a huge Antonio Gibson fan. I thought he would develop, you know, as a former receiver, but he never really did. Sometimes, you know, the running instincts, it's kind of either you have it or you don't. I don't think he had it, but he was looking good, no doubt about it, and he was definitely going to be a factor. So that's a loss for the New England Patriots, and Ramondre Butterfinger Stevenson better start learning how to hold on to the ball. By the way, we do have some waiver wire thoughts on the Charger backfield coming up later on in the show. Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota said that J.J. McCarthy will practice following the team's week 6 bye. Of course, Carson Wentz got a little bit banged up. So big decision, I think, and maybe I'm overstating it. I don't know. I feel like it's a big decision coming out of the bye. Do you stick with Carson Wentz in a revenge game, or do you go to the rookie? It's a really tough call because the last thing I'd like to see, as I think I articulated as a Vikings fan, is I don't want him to go out there like next game and not be ready and then not do well. Now we have a real problem. I'd almost rather him, you know, kind of come in when they need him because Carson's bad or gets hurt. Maybe he can be, you know, kind of the hero. But, hey, not my decision to make. It's going to be a tough call there in Minnesota. Sean McDermott in Buffalo said that Matt Milano aggravated that injury week to week. So that's one of the reasons they've been run all over. Everybody's got flaws, man, in this NFL these days. Everyone has weaknesses. Everyone is beatable. No one is unstoppable. Certainly not the Philadelphia Eagles, as we learned last week. Hey, how about Joe Mixon? Remember him? Texan GM Nick Caserio said that Mixon is making progress and the team will have a better idea of his availability for the year in a few weeks. You know, luckily, I guess, for Bro Mixon, they do play in a weaker division, although is it? the Indianapolis Colts might be running away with that puppy, and we might get to a point where it's not really worth it. I'm not going to tell you to go out and pick up Joe Mixon, quite frankly, but he is not in the dirt yet in terms of playing NFL football this season. And then finally, Adam Schefter reporting that the Lions starting corner, Terrion Arnold's number one pick, is a good player. The injury is not as bad as feared and could return sooner than expected. Okay, it's a lot better text, more promising than some of the headlines from yesterday. It was like, he'll be out a while, or things like that. So Lions looking good here. We shall see how the Packers look coming out of the bye, but NFC North is going to be a battle royale. When we return, let's do some business in the trade market, some buy low, sell high. It's very schedule influenced in terms of the selections. But first, do you think you know sports? If so, it's time to start getting paid for it. Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Here's how it works. Download the Better app. You pick more or less than your favorite player stats. If your pick hits, you win. Right now for the NFL kickoff, new users still hooking up with a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit necessary. When you deposit, you can earn bonuses up to $200. Year-round action on all the sports. So head to better.app. That's B-E-T-R, or download Better in the App Store or Google Play. Don't forget to use the promo code VSIN for your free $10 and your deposit bonus today. Buy low, sell high, week six and beyond, here on Prop Points on VSIN.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the sports betting network.
It is a Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSIN. Thanks for tuning in. I'm John Hansen, fantasypoints.com. It's time to do some business. Let me start talking about players to trade and trade for. And we're always looking for opportunities, all kinds of things. Look, we have short memories. There are seasons within the season, by the way. And this has been a theme that I've been kind of promoting for a half a decade or so, as we just got word, by the way. And there is someone on this team. Joey Flacco traded to the Cincinnati Bengals, like literally a moment or two ago. You know, I was wondering about that because I was going to list Ja'Marr Chase. Can we scratch him off? I was going to list Ja'Marr Chase again, coming off that huge game, because I watched the first half, scratch my cornea, quite frankly, watching Jake Browning play football. He was browning the bed, if you will. Bro Flacco, here comes the cavalry. So much better pocket quarterback, much better sustainer of offense, throwing a football, basically. And he's got a pretty talented receiving core. So there it is. Joe Flacco, no longer a Cleveland Brown, in division. You can tell they don't care. It's like, oh, you don't want to trade a guy in division. He's 40. We don't care. So there it is. The cavalry has arrived, apparently, for Ja'Marr Chase, for T. Higgins. Obviously, he'll get the ball to Chase. He will certainly help the T. Higgins case, and he will probably unlock a tight end, as he did with David Njoku in Cleveland. And, hey, week one, Harold Fannin. And I would say that tight end should be Noah Fant. Enough of Mike Gesicki. Noah Fant has actually been a little bit more involved, and I think he missed last week, right? But I believe he's trending toward a return. But there it is. Breaking news. Look at that. Immediate analysis from a news item that came down the line about 90 seconds ago. So there's that. Well, back to some players to trade for in that same division. How about Lamar Jackson? Anybody? Lamar? You know, it's a struggle bus. He probably, forget about him this week, because even if he does miraculously go, I don't know if I want to use him up against the Rams. However, boy, their schedule gets very light. Here are their next seven or eight opponents after this week with the Rams and the fantasy points per game they're currently giving up to quarterbacks. Chicago, 21.2, big number. Miami, 24.2, big number. Minnesota, that's a low number, 13.3, but he'll probably run in that game. Cleveland's, that's 15. That's not a great one. The Jets, not worried about that. They're giving up 20. The aforementioned Bengals, they're giving up 20. I mean, 20 is a pretty big number these days. Pittsburgh, they're giving up 22.9. And then, oh, look, Cincinnati again. I would, in fact, trade for Lamar Jackson on the cheap and expect him to be a needle mover as usual because, you know, we're in now like season two of seven in the NFL. So season one, season two, it's going to be really bad. But wait till season three starts in about 2 or 3 weeks. I think we're looking pretty good there with Lamar Jackson. And by the way, maybe even Derrick Henry. I mean, the value plummeted further last week. Next up, a little bit of an interesting one in that I don't really like them and I would want to flip them in a month. But if I needed immediate help at quarterback, how about Caleb Williams? The next four matchups look good to me. And is it just me or does it seem like Caleb Williams and the Bears haven't played in a month? I mean, I don't know. It just seems like we haven't seen him in so long. I guess it's just smooth sailing when you don't have to watch the Bears. But anyways, here's that schedule. Washington, they're giving up over 19 points a game. New Orleans, 20.6. Baltimore, 24.8. And Cincinnati, I think that's a very good schedule. But after that, if I could, I would maybe discard him or flip him because he's got some bad ones upcoming after that. And we'll see some stinkers. Giants, Vikings, you know, Pittsburgh's pretty good. Philly, Green Bay, Cleveland, Green Bay. No. Not Caleb Williams. This probably applies too to, by the way, Rome Odunze. Here's a somewhat controversial one. How about Saquon Barkley? Obviously, we're on the struggle bus. However, the next 3 weeks, starting Thursday night, I'm going to make a bold prediction right now. The next three games, Saquon will run for over 300 yards. Not in each, but he will have 300 yards rushing in his next three games. And that is because he's facing the Giants twice. Their run defense is their weakness. And then the Vikings can't stop anyone. They can't stop, a bloody nose, you know, with a rag in terms of the running game. So how about Barkley? Here's another one. Joshua Jacobs. They have not been able to run the ball that well this year. But I think, you know, the passing attack is looking good. Going to get Christian Watson back soon. But, man, this schedule looks good. Cincinnati giving up 31.8. Arizona, 23. Pittsburgh, 21.9. Carolina, 21.5. Philadelphia, 23.7. The Giants, 24.6. Minnesota, 21.9. Detroit, they're all right. Chicago giving up over 30 points a game. Denver's, you can get the ball to the running back in the passing game there. And then Chicago again and Baltimore. I mean, it's unbelievable, that schedule. Phenomenal. Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt's another one. I know he broke out last week and the value did rise, but I think it will continue to climb in the coming weeks as he settles in as their lead back. And this is a really fantasy-friendly schedule. Chicago, Dallas, KC, Seattle, all these teams giving up well over 20 points a game. Detroit at Miami, Denver, Minnesota, the Giants, Philadelphia, a lot of these same teams involved. So I think we're looking good there. RJ Harvey, he's not going to be a world beater for you right now or a needle mover, but he will if J.K. Dobbins goes down later in the season. So I do like that still while the value is down. Now, Jameson Williams, I'm about ready to wave the white flag, but I don't see it continuing because the vibes were too good in the preseason. I was pretty high on him. And based on those vibes, our guy Brett Whitefield continues to say he attended like 15 training camp practices this summer. And they did a bunch of stuff in those practices that they're not yet doing. So they haven't unleashed them, basically. So I like it. And I like the matchups here. DC, Philly, Giants, Packers, Cowboys, Rams, Steelers. It's pretty good. Oh, AJ Brown, think I'm ready to buy. Said to sell 3 weeks ago, but now the value has dropped even further. So now I'm ready to buy. I think he'll do well against the Giants. My Minnesota Vikings, trust me on this one, they're not stopping AJ Brown in 2 weeks. They're just not. I'm going to take the prop now, even though it doesn't exist. But I will take that prop. The Giants, Packers, Lions, Cowboys, pretty good. Terry McLaurin, lost season thus far, but again, seasons within the season. And he is trending toward a return this week, by the way. Chicago, Dallas, KC, Seattle, Detroit, Miami, very good. Trey McBride, I know it's only a small buying opportunity, but a lot of good matchups forthcoming, especially in the next four games. Indy, Green Bay, Dallas, Seattle, very, very good. Mark Andrews, right along with Lamar, really good tight end schedule. Rams, Dolphins, Vikings, Browns, Jets, Bengals, Steelers, Bengals, Patriots, Packers. Very good. Also, Kyle Pitts has a really good schedule for tight ends. Miami, New England, Indy, Carolina, New Orleans, all these teams, a lot of these teams are giving up production to the tight end. Everyone's giving up production to the tight end. Throw in a couple of more here, Colston Loveland, and let's move on. I think a little Zay Flowers. I would be more than fine trading these dudes. Same thing, schedule. Go ahead and look for yourself. Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott, not a good schedule. CJ Stroud after last week's bonanza, and even little T-Law after last night's bonanza. I don't like this schedule. Seattle, LA Rams, bye week, Vegas, Houston, Chargers. I don't love it, but he will in fact run. But there's a look at some really good options, I think, mostly on the buy low end of things as we look to get the schedule, use it to our favor. We'll talk with Stephen O'Rourke on the other side here. This is a Tuesday edition of Prop Points right here on VSiN. We'll see what he has cooking for week number 6 in terms of the data and all that good stuff. And then I will talk waiver wire before we sign off at the top of the hour. A Tuesday edition of Prop Points barrels on right here on VSiN.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Tuesday edition of Prop Points continues right here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen. And without any further ado, we go to the guest line to bring in our guy, Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points Data. And we always, assign him a fairly unenviable task. We need information for next week. Yeah, sure. The previous week just ended like 11 hours ago, but give us the info. But he is on the X machine at Call Me Steve O, and he's ready to rock and roll. What's up, Steven? How are you?
Doing well, man. Another good week. I stand by that this has been one of my favorite NFL seasons in a long time. It's just the parody's been crazy. I feel like every week we're having multiple good games. It's just been fun to be an NFL fan.
Yeah, I mean, we were like, 16-6 this week. So, I mean, that was a pretty good week. So we're feeling good. But we know, by the way, this time last year, we were living large. But then November came. But again, we have a plan for it this year. But let's get into it because we've certainly, you, me, Brett Whitefield, maybe somebody else, we have been given Ashton Jeanty some love the last couple of weeks. I actually played the Jeanty prop 2 weeks in a row. Didn't do it last week. I think it hit, but really close. But you have some interesting directional data, basically, on the offensive line and, you know, which side they're weaker, and that would be the Tennessee Titans. What do you have this week on Genty?
Yeah, so Genty this year has, you know, we've noted his struggles here and there with the run, but where he has excelled is running to the left side. He averages 6.91 yards per carry on runs to the left side, which is seventh in the NFL. He has the fourth most carries to the left side. 40% of his rushes are going left. And Tennessee's giving up 5.91 yards per carry on rushes to the left side, which is fourth worst in the NFL. Game script has gotten away from the Raiders a little bit lately. This bodes well playing Tennessee, a team that's, you know, either gotten trounced or, you know, is in a close game with most teams. It at least, you know, points to Genty getting more opportunity on the ground and having it go the way of Geno not having to put the ball up 40, 50 times a game. So I think that the Raiders lean into the run game a little bit and try and push that Tennessee defense that, you know, has struggled against the run here and there this year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. How about Christian McCaffrey this week up against Tampa? You know, they're now they had some injuries. Jamal Dean missed last week, but they're, you know, Todd Bowles is all that in a bag of chips over here, if I can use a phrase from 1994. But he, you know, is doing a hell of a job. But, you know, they do give up those catches of running backs. Does look like a big CMC day. What do you have data-wise?
Yeah, I mean, as far as getting the run game going, the Bucs have been really good against the run. It's been kind of their staple of their defense. So, like, so I expect San Francisco to kind of lean into the passing game to, you know, subsidize their run game. And the Bucs run about the 11th most two high coverage in the NFL. And Christian McCaffrey has a 32.8% target share against two high this year. And that's third in the NFL amongst all pass rushers. Like, I think it goes like JSN, I forget who's second, and then Christian McCaffrey. And he's averaging 2.77 yards per route run against two high coverage, which is crazy because compared to single high, he's only gets a 14.5% target share. But I expect the 49ers to use McCaffrey to get that, basically not lean the way of run, but going short passes, him out of the backfield, working against their linebackers, because the Bucs are giving up 12.5 yards per attempt to backfield targets this season. So I think that Christian McCaffrey gets involved early and often in the pass game. I think they go the way of screens, that they love the angle routes with him. They love kind of shifting him out, having him run slants and in routes from out of the backfield. I think they continue to do that, and they use that to kind of work their short game and, you know, kind of make up for what can be lost in the run game against the Buccaneers.
And I was looking it up as you were finishing there. It's important to note for this that Kyle Shanahan said a few days ago that George Kittle would likely be a long shot to play this week. Now, I don't think he's updated it since then, but not required to talk about it, I guess, until Wednesday. But FYI, that would absolutely help. Well, our guy Michael Cohen is, I believe, I've heard rumors that he's starting up like a little Drake May fan club, but that's just speculation. But he is a Patriots guy, and he's giddy about Drake May. You do have some data here on May against zone coverage. I mean, maybe another Hunter Henry. Hunter Henry loves himself some zone. But what do you see here with Drake May?
Yeah, the Saints are running about 75% zone coverage this season, which is 12th in the NFL, and they're susceptible up the middle. They do really well against the slot. They have Alante Taylor lined up in the, as their nickel corner, and he's one of the more proficient corners against slot targets. But where they struggle is inline targets. They're giving up about 9.2 yards per attempt to inline targets, which is eighth most in the NFL. And they're giving up an 85% completion percentage to inline targets. Hunter Henry, he has a 17.1% target share against zone coverage, which is second on the team. Diggs leads the team, but 50% of his targets come from the slot. So I would say that the way that Drake May is going to kind of get a hold of that middle of the field is through Hunter Henry up the seam, you know, shorten up the seam. It's where he's excelled. Hunter Henry's averaging 2.08 yards per route run against zone coverage, which is a solid number, especially for a tight end. And Drake May is averaging 12.67 yards per attempt to inline targets against zone coverage, which is second in the NFL. And he has the eighth most targets to inline players against zone coverage. So overall, I think that the way that Drake May is going to attack that defense is going to be through those Hunter Henry, probably a little bit of Austin Hooper, and then probably look out wide. I think where the Saints excel, like I said, is shutting down slot targets. And so it's going to force Drake May to look a little bit more over the middle to his tight ends and potentially out to like Butte and stuff. But I mean, Drake May had his coming out party. I think he's only going to continue to ascend, and New Orleans is a good team to follow up after a really good performance against Buffalo.
Let me crowbar in one question related to the big news item that popped today. Bro Flacco getting traded to the Bengals. We're talking with Stephen O'Rourke, fantasy football or fantasy points data, fantasy football guy. Sure. Bro Flacco on the Bengals, you know, over the last 5-6 years, they've tried to address the O-line. Jonah Williams didn't work out, or Marius Mims. I don't think that's worked out, 2 number 1 picks. So I guess that's your biggest concern, would be Joe Flacco getting creamed back there.
Yeah, I'm just worried that we're putting a 40-plus-year-old statue who, you know, he's pretty decent in the – like, he can slide, and he's pretty adept at, you know, seeing pressure. But when you're playing behind what is essentially 5 turnstiles in Cincinnati, I just don't know how you hold up against that. Like, it bodes well for deep shots to Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. I think we'll see more of that, but I just don't know how long he lasts against that with that offensive line in front of him. Especially in a division where you're facing, Pittsburgh and you're facing Cleveland. I don't love it. I just don't think it bodes well for his health. I don't think it bodes well overall for the offense going to an even less mobile quarterback in that offense.
Well, at least they can go back to Jake Browning, you know, if need be. One more here. Theo Johnson playing tomorrow, and he absolutely looks like a thing with Jackson Dart. And you know who doesn't necessarily? Wandale Robinson. So what do you have here on Theo?
Yeah, so in the 2 games that Jackson Dart has started, Theo Johnson has a 19.7% target share, which is tied for the lead on the team, and 27.8% of his target share when he's lined up in line. And he's kind of been the intermediate threat for the Giants. He has a 7.1 A dot compared to like Wandale, who's used as their short threat. Darius Slayton, who's used as their deep threat. The Eagles have been really good against receivers in general, whether it be slot or out wide. But where they are kind of susceptible is they do give up 7 yards in an attempt to inline targets and an 80% completion percentage. Theo Johnson's line is only at 29.5 for Thursday. I think that that's a good play. I think that Jackson Dart is going to look to him pretty often because it's probably one of the matchups that, you know, they actually have a chance against, because I think that Cooper DeJean can shut down Wandale and just over physical him. Quinyon Mitchell has played really well. That would match up against Darius Slayton. And I just haven't loved what I've seen out of Jalin Hyatt overall. So I just think that if they're going to go in the pass game, it's probably going to be looking towards Theo.
Great stuff, Stephen. We'll talk to you next week, and we'll follow you on the X machine at Call Me Stevo. We'll talk waiver wires in a moment. But first, if you think you know sports, start getting paid for it. Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app. Your sports knowledge turns into real cash. Get a free $10, no deposit necessary. When you deposit, you can earn up to $200 in bonuses. All the sports covered, where they're giving you $40 for every friend you bring in. Download Better in the App Store or Google Play. Better.app. Use the promo code VSIN for your free $10 deposit bonus.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Final segment here on a Tuesday as I reach back to recall what day it was. I'm John Hansen, and it's time to talk a little waiver wire. And we have a huge article over at fantasypoints.com. Massive amounts of information, not overload, but just every angle covered. But I go through and I cherry pick the dudes I think are priority ads, needle movers, difference makers, and all that. Well, we'll pop out the top 10, and I might go beyond. I have a few more names, but numero uno is our boy, Mason Taylor, who was our best bet last week. Again, wasn't really thinking about Mason Taylor a month ago. It was very quiet. It wasn't used a lot in college. Very quiet. Summer, pretty quiet. Not much going on. But guess what? I've only seen 8 quarters of football with him, especially the last 2 weeks. I've already decided he's a tight end one in a dynasty league for the next few years. And I see absolutely no reason to believe that he cannot continue to put up tight end one numbers, as our guy Steve Cohen so brilliantly articulated to me and reminded me that, you know, it's not just his father, Jason Taylor, his mother, who is Zach Thomas's sister, I do not recall her name, but she was a world-class athlete. So this guy's a great athlete. And, you know, Tanner Engstrand is doing a good job getting on the ball, you know, pulling in from his days, you know, in Detroit. And yeah, Justin Fields stinks. It's true. But at least you got Tyrod, because Tyrod will go in there. If Fields is not getting it done, or maybe he just pouts, Tyrod will go in there and move the ball. So I think we're good with Mason Taylor, quite frankly. And by the way the league is now, it's like everyone's good at tight end now. It's incredible. Like, it's all the two deep shells, basically keeping everything in front of them. So a guy like Mason Taylor is going to get a lot of targets if they're playing from behind, as he has the last couple of weeks. Number two is Ken Gainwell. You got to admit, he looked good. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They signed him. It's not like he was drafted or anything. Like, they went out and got him, and they let Najee go. It's certainly not time for Caleb Johnson to do anything. I mean, the dude was the RB3 in week 4 with 25 touches and 31.4 fantasy points per game. The Steelers' backfield right now, because Aaron Rodgers is an old man who moves around about as well as Fred G. Sanford. There's a reference for the kids. They are using the backs a ton, handing it off, dumping it off. It's a top 5 valuable backfield for fantasy. And, I mean, Jalen Warren's not an ideal RB1. I was into Jalen Warren. We'll see if he suits up this week. But clearly, they need a second guy to have an active role. So you can't count on him every week, but don't be surprised if Kenny Gainwell produces more often than not. Next up, I am hesitant to even delve into this backfield in Arizona, but hey, we got to do it, because we got some information last week. Michael Carter, former Jet, former North Carolina Tar Heel. I've interviewed him. He's a nice guy. He's a good receiver as well. And we saw that last week. He caught 5 balls for 22. So he's not just the early down guy, but he is the early down guy. So he doesn't have the backfield in lockdown, of course. DeMarcado is the hurry-up back, the third down back, dropping touchdowns, yes. But we also had Bam Knight, Zonovan Knight, the Dark Knight, scoring a touchdown last week. But still, if you need a running back, you know, Benson's out 4 to 6 weeks, so it's going to have to be Michael Carter time. Theo Johnson, he is a guy that I was actually not impressed by that much, but I did actually have him on my target list, and I ranked him. This is crazy. I had him at 175 on my cheat sheet. Doesn't sound like a ringing endorsement, but I kept noticing, like, wow, no one cares about Theo Johnson. His ADP is 260. So I basically ranked him 95 spots over his ADP. And I still never took him, but I did rank him that high because of the role. Weaker receiving room in general. And there it is. They didn't add anybody else of note at tight end, by the way. So it's playing out right now with Jackson Dart. He is the tight end 9 in the last 4 weeks. And it's not just the 3 tutties. That's a big part of it. Top 15 in targets and receptions as well. Next up, these aren't like ultra exciting, but, you know, they're probably a little savvy, like Christian Kirk. I think the offense is kind of an inside out offense. And, you know, they called off the dogs last week, or else he may have gone off. He looks like the number two option for CJ Stroud, in my opinion. Like I said, it's more of an inside outside passing game, because we don't have a ton of deep drops with high ADOT throws. The O-line's terrible. So I think that Christian Kirk can be all right. Now, they do have the youngsters coming up, Jalen Noel and Higgins. But, you know, the veteran Kirk for now, again, seasons within the seasons. So maybe season 3 and 4 of 7 this year. He might help you in PPR leagues. Trey Tucker for the Raiders. I played that prop last week. That was a winner. He might be a little schematic matchup dependent, but he often pops and has spike games. And this past week, I don't know about a spike game, but he popped a little bit, 6 targets. 4 for 62. Next up, Hassan Haskins. I once interviewed Hassan Haskins, and I asked him about scoring 5 touchdowns for the Michigan Wolverines against Ohio State for Jim Harbaugh. And he was like, oh, all about that. I think I asked him something like, would you have rather scored like 5 against Ohio State or 15 against Toledo? And he'd be like, yeah, 5 against Ohio State. So I bring that up because he now plays for Jim Harbaugh. He's had some problems off the field, but I guess he's kind of taking care of that. He's still in the league. Kind of a no-frills guy, but he can catch the ball. And he was the number 2 over Kamani Vidal for a few weeks once Najee went down. So I think that's the guy you want, Hassan Haskins. Kamani Vidal, he's not that good. Next up, Kendre Miller. I'm just about to the point. Actually, I'm there. I think the Saints should use Kendre Miller as a lead runner and pivot Kamara over more to the passing role. They're maybe trying to force feed him a little bit. Not really going well in terms of Alvin Kamara. I see over at Fantasy Points in the data suite, I'm digging through the data, Kendre Miller right now is 6th in missed tackles forced per attempt. I looked at Kamara, I mean, he was like 39th on the list, like considerably more. Like he's forcing twice as many missed tackles per attempt on average than Al Kamara. And again, Kendre Miller can catch the ball, but I mean, you have Kamara, you got to use them. So it's kind of reminds you of like Steven Jackson back in the day, you know, like kind of devolve a little bit into being a, you know, complimentary changeup third down back. Darnell Mooney is next up here at number 9. I know he's boring, but, you know, think about it. It's a McVay offense. He's basically Devontae Adams in that offense. Drake London, of course, would be Puka. And then I'll also look at Isaiah Bond. And a lot of that is kind of trying to capture the rookie mojo. Joe Flacco has been traded to the Bengals. Dylan Gabriel looking for Isaiah Bond last week. He's explosive, and he separates. So I like that. And if you're a young quarterback, you're looking for separators. A couple of other names here. Josh Downs. Can't do it every week, but I like him. Christian Watson, hey, pick him up. He is the most talented receiver on the Packers. J.J. McCarthy, I'll still go there. And, you know, by the way, for what it's worth, I had McCarthy as my QB12 in the preseason. And through weeks 3 through 5, 33-year-old Carson Wentz signed off a couch, 5th team in 5 years with a decimated O-line, is the QB12. We're up to the final point that we'll make tonight. It is a best bet brought to you by G-Bank, built for sports bettors in mind. Right now, you can earn $50 cash back reward bonus once you're approved and your account is open with a G-Bank Visa signature card. Most credit card companies treat sports booking gaming transactions as cash advances, even when it's your own money. G-Bank treats them as regular purchases, no cash advance fees, saving you up to 3-5% on every deposit. You can earn 1% cash back on all eligible sports booking gaming transactions and 2% cash back on everything else you buy. Apply now at VSiN.com/G-Bank. That's VSIN.com/G-Bank. Money moves. Stormy Bonnie and Tony, Jonathan Von Tobel at 2 Eastern. I'm going to go quickly with this. I'm going to go Saquon Barkley, not just the receiving, over 104.5 rushing receiving yards. I have good data about it. It's all about the man gap runs, which I think Philly will run and fire it off. There it is. We'll catch you manana for another edition of Prop Points.